What are the salvage options? The most important one, I'd say, is blinatumomab, which is an antibody that is a bispecific recognizer of both CD19 on lymphoblasts and CD3 on T cells. It pulls the T cells together, and that allows the T cells to recognize the lymphoblasts, engages them in a way that activates the T cells, and clears the lymphoblasts from this immunotherapy. It can be associated with significant toxicity, usually on the first cycle. We see cytokine release syndrome with rather significant regularity. It mandates hospitalization. It can show up later than that, but it's uncommon. And we see it mostly in people who have a high presenting white count. It's much better tolerated when the white count's controlled prior to receiving the drug, and it also works better in that setting. We see a large number of patients go into remission and a high likelihood of an MRD negative remission when people respond. And again, if you go into an MRD negative state after salvage therapy, that's where transplant really works. Patients who are MRD positive after salvage, they can be transplanted, but it's hard to cure them. So what we like about blinatumomab is we see a high likelihood of MRD negative response when people respond, and particularly in patients that we can get the white count down prior to starting the therapy. While there is potential toxicity, we can manage that toxicity, again, with very close observation in a specialized center that gives this regularly. It's a continuous infusion that's given for a 4-week course, and you may need several courses of it to say you've had full therapy. But the drug has basically become, a very welcome addition to our armamentarium in the academic centers. I would not try it necessarily in the community centers, at least for the first cycle. That's something that I would be very cautious about because that's where you're going to see cytokine release syndrome. And that's a capillary leak syndrome. Patients can get high fevers, low blood pressure, shortness of breath. They can get really quite ill, and very rapidly this can progress to full-blown organ failure. The drug has a very short half-life, so we stop the drug if we see this side effect. We give steroids. It usually resolves within hours. We can rechallenge, and we're less likely to see it on rechallenge. And we start with a low dose of blinatumomab and then escalate the dose afterwards. Now, importantly, because it's a continuous infusion, you have to expose the patient to that drug for 4 weeks solid. Even if the drug is discontinued for a few hours, we need to bring those patients back and hospitalize them for a period of time to get them back on the dose if the pump fails, if the patient gets deaccessed, if there's some issue like that. So that's something that patients need to be aware of. They have to call the center if they're having a problem with their pump. And if they roll into your emergency room and the pump turns off, don't start them the next day because they've been doing fine. They need to be monitored. They may need to go to the leukemia center for that monitoring, knowing how sick they can get. It's something not to be trifled with because people really can get very rapidly very sick.
I've heard blinatumomab described as, quote, off-the-shelf CAR T. I don't know if you agree with that, but what about neurologic issues?
Yeah, so neurologic issues are an issue with blinatumomab. All of the studies required patients to not have prior strokes or seizures or CNS disease. It's interesting, blinatumomab does not penetrate into CNS, so it's not active against patients who have disease there, but it can cause neurotoxicity. And the neurotoxicity can range anything from, a tremor in your hand to word-finding abnormalities, speech difficulties, cerebellar ataxia to encephalopathy. And again, it can happen rapidly or it can be delayed. The CRS usually happens very soon after starting the drug, but the neurotoxicity can be later. And that's true for CAR T cells as well. So maybe this is a good time to segue to that.